Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Who here considers themselves to be basically a rules follower? I see some hands not raving very high. Here we go. I'm a rules follower. For the most part, I'm a rules follower. And I'm very reluctant to kind of upset those norms by which we live with each other. If there's a button that says, "Don't press this button," I'm probably not going to press the button. If there's a line that says, "Don't cross this line," I'm probably not going to cross the line. I don't cut in lines. In fact, sometimes I feel unsettled if Kathy's been in line and she's kind of far up and I go join her and there are people behind me. That makes me very uneasy. Don't want to do that. I tend to break the speed limit. But I keep it into those miles we know we can go over. And I even had a police officer, a Howard County cop, tell me, "Until you beat 12 miles, you're not going to get pulled over." So that's kind of following the unwritten rules, right? I'm still following the rules. My friends in seminary used to call me the rubric police because I stick to the rubrics. Those are the smaller italicized words in the prayer book that tell you what the rules are. Now, technically, you can be taken before the ecclesiastical court if you violate the rubrics, but I'm not aware of that ever happening. Nonetheless, the rubrics, they matter. Sometimes I think it's just adhering to the rules of the social contract we all have for each other. I mean, most of us hold the door if there's somebody behind us. Should be the natural thing. The social contract we have says don't let the door slam in somebody's face. We don't all follow it. You don't turn your plate of spaghetti upside down on the white tablecloth just because you think it'll make a cool pattern. That's a violation of the rules. When you're two, you might, but you learn that that's breaking the rules. Now, despite what you see around you, I'm inclined to say that Americans in general are rules followers. That was made very clear to me. I was talking to somebody maybe last week about this, but I had the great experience way back in 1995 while I was in seminary of going over to the Holy Land for a month. And we had a chance, being there for a month, we had a chance to go into Egypt, to the Sinai Desert and whatnot. That was great. But the border between Israel and Egypt, while you can cross it, is still a little complicated. In the first place, you have to. There's a 100-yard zone that you have to cross on foot, taking your bags with you. The bus stops. But the day we were there followed a day where the border was closed for some reason I don't recall, or maybe didn't even know. So when they opened it again, it was very crowded. And people were kind of swarming the place. And I actually, there was a window, I saw somebody pass through a stack of probably 10 passports, just passed them through the window. I assume somebody stamped them and gave them back, I'm not sure. But we Americans, we were lined up. in the midst of this craziness, we were lined up, and I was one of the people in the front of our line, and I was trying to push my way through a little bit, not cutting, mind you, and we weren't getting anywhere. Fortunately for us, eventually somebody showed up who our leader knew, and they took us around to the side and got us all checked through, and we went in, had a lovely time. But my observation was that Americans follow the rules. We line up behind people. Now, don't let me oversell myself here. My rules following is not extreme. And I have even, over the years, maybe I've become cynical, I don't know, but I cross them a little more often now. Take the rubrics, for example. I don't do any big crossing of the rubrics. But did you know that there's nowhere in the book, in the marriage rite, that says you may kiss the bride? It's not in there. And when I was fresh out of seminary and starting to do weddings, I didn't say that because it wasn't in there. I've decided to break that rule should the couple prefer it. Because you may kiss the bride, right? Also, some of you here worship regularly with us on Wednesday mornings at morning prayer. And we're violating the lectionary a little bit these days. The lectionary, that's our list of readings, and they're very important. I don't violate the lectionary on Sunday mornings, even if it's a reading that's really hard. But frankly, we've gotten sick of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is 176 verses long. You don't say them all each time. Every single one of those verses, with a couple exceptions, is about God's word and upholding God's law. And all of that is great, but not if you say a chunk of it every single Wednesday morning for years. I've been doing it for 7 years with that crowd. And the thing about it is, Wednesday is when Psalm 119 shows up much more often than not. And we finally got tired of it, and we said, the heck with the lectionary, we're going to do Tuesday's Psalm on Wednesday. It's been very refreshing. But, you know, we follow Jesus a bit when we break the rules, because he did it pretty well. He knew the rules well, and he followed them very diligently. You know, there are a lot of rules in the Jewish code, in the Torah, and things that have been derived from that. There are at least 613 rules of Jewish law that go back to the Old Testament. Jesus is scripture, mind you. Remember, for him, it wasn't the Old Testament. The New Testament, we were still waiting on that. But he was not afraid to break the rules when necessary. Got him killed, got us saved. But this is where we find him in this morning's gospel, on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. And there were serious rules about the Sabbath. It did not allow for healing. The Sabbath was like this blackout period from doing any work every 7 days. And I think it's worth taking a look at what the leader of the synagogue was trying to protect, because we want to throw him out because the Gospels generally paint those people in poor colors. But think for a moment what he was trying to protect. To start with, this wasn't some random rule, the Sabbath. It's one of the ten, capitalized. And in fact, of the Ten Commandments, this is the only one that kind of comes with its explanation, its rationale. It's from Exodus 20, and this is how long it is. You think the Ten Commandments you can just, you know, bing off. This is it. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That should be enough. But it goes on, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it. That's a lot. So there's the foundation for what's being defended here. Over the time, the list of things that an Orthodox Jew was prohibited from doing grew very long. Precluded were activities like anything connected to breaking or making bread. So It begins with sowing and plowing and reaping and binding and threshing and grinding. And then it continues with sifting and kneading and baking, all those things right out on the Sabbath. You couldn't do anything related to the creation of fabric or clothing. So spinning, threading needles, weaving, separating, tying or untying a knot. So no on the Sabbath. Any kind of sewing. Even the making of two loops. Forbidden. Forbidden on the Sabbath. Activities prohibited by association with some of these original rules include adding fresh water to a vase, to cut flowers, cutting your hair or your nails, sharpening a pencil. Forbidden. Now, this sounds a little oppressive. Perhaps you get the sense of why healing of this woman might have seemed out of line. But the Sabbath was designed to be a time of rest when one could reconnect with God, with family, community. Over the years, the rules have been re-envisioned for modern times, although they're still based on the original rules. An Orthodox Jew today cannot turn lights on or off. No cooking, no driving, no TV, no cell phones. If you've ever been to, say, Sinai Hospital on a Saturday, you will notice that the elevators run, but they stop on every floor. So you don't have to push a button. You can get on it, it goes another floor, you can get off it, because that would be a violation. Again, it sounds oppressive, but maybe not. I once heard a celebrity describe the Sabbath as a real vacation, meant to be spent with family and friends, just hanging out, taking walks, playing games, talking, and if you are so inclined, going to synagogue. When was the last time you took time to do these things? Sabbath's not so bad. But despite the prominent status of this commandment and its benefits that it brings every week, Jesus broke the rule. This was not the only rule he broke. If you haven't read the Gospels, you should. There's a lot of rule breaking going on in there. Trash the money changers in the temple. He interrupted the public and legal execution of the woman accused of adultery. He harvested corn on the Sabbath. Remember, nothing about that. It's a big no-no. He touched the unclean, the lepers. It was forbidden. He talked to women. Go, Jesus. He reprimanded the religious elite and the leaders. He broke the letter of the laws of his day in very deliberate ways. Over and over again, he showed what the spirit of these laws had always been meant to be. He showed that if you follow the laws, even religiously, but don't love the person they're affecting, then God is likely not on your side. Jesus saw the Sabbath as a line to be crossed for the right reasons. And those reasons? Well, if you read back, most of it was a need for compassion. That may be, I think, the best reason to break rules. You can go right to the passage we heard from Isaiah this morning as a wonderful starting point. Remember, Isaiah was a prophet who was calling the Hebrews back to a sound relationship with God because they had strayed from God. And in the passage that we heard this morning, it opens by saying, if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the affliction, of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. This is a sign of godliness. Compassion, pure and simple. Compassion undergirded most of what Jesus did. breaking the rules or the norms of society to advance or enrich oneself is simply greed, and that is not godly. To violate the norms to hurt others is hatred. It's not godly. Breaking the rules to practice compassion is holy and is godly. I'm going to close with a very short story about my own ministry. I try to do that a lot, but there's a long, complicated story I won't go into. But at a church that I previously served in my life as an ordained person, we faced a need for a food pantry, a place we could provide food for those who are in need. And as I say, through a long, complicated process, the vestry decided, no, we're not going to do this. It will be one of my great regrets when I retire, possibly the greatest one of my career, that I didn't do it anyway, that I didn't break the rule out of compassion for those in need. I could have probably done this out of my office. A rule was set, and I abided by it. And there are times the rules need to be broken. And compassion is that call. Amen.